Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Reggie Bullock, and this is the This Is Recorded podcast. I'm reporting live from Emporia, Virginia, the littest place in the world. Psych. If you know where I'm at, it's not that lit. But it is lit, because it's the family reunion. I'm joined here, my main cuz, Kyrie, man. Y'all heard me shout him out. I got the legend here in the flesh. Kyrie, tell him what up, man.
What's going on, B? You know, we live and in full effect. You know, got me on a podcast. It's been a long time. I've been itching like a crack fiend, but I'm here. I'm here live and direct, baby.
Yeah. So we sitting here watching the Big Three. Shout out to Ice Cube and the Big Three League putting on for the black community. We getting our own stuff going on, yo. Like, watch out. NBA getting mad. You know, as soon as LeVar dropped the Junior League, NBA, all of a sudden they trying to change the rules. Is it a conspiracy? I don't know. My black youngster voice, fuck you, you little horse. Louis B. Horse. But anyway, the world's been talking. The world's been itching. The world stopped. When LeBron would, like, yo, like, when these people report stuff, I'm learning that they really know how to do their job. They've been telling us Los Angeles. And he's like, nah. It's like, no. He's going to Los Angeles. Like, they've been saying this for years. So, Kyrie, what is your thoughts on him going to L.A.?
LeBron going to L.A., that's a big move, in my opinion. I think it's a good start. It's a good fit for him. Him and his family. I think LeBron, he should have been in L.A., in my opinion. Cleveland, not really the best fit for him. LA is a good money move. It's a good money making move for him and his family. But LeBron in LA, that's a big step, because I already know they talking about him doing like following the media path after he finishes his basketball career and stuff like that. So I think this first year he's gonna go in and have fun, not really expecting to do much with the team that they kind of got around him. Because Magic Johnson said it's a 2-summer process. So, Whoever they end up getting with him, it's going to be nasty. And I really do think that now this will definitely build his legacy. Especially for him to come out the West after everybody told him that there's no competition in the East. So now if you knock off Golden State, San Antonio, all these legacy teams, ain't nothing much to do after that. I mean, I don't think he needs to win any more championships, in my opinion. I think he's doing what is necessary to benefit him and his career. Me, he's done enough. His stats prove it. I mean, 3-6 in the finals, that's not the greatest record, but I'd rather go to the finals 9 times than get knocked out round 1, round 2.
Yeah, and it's like, for him, it's like he's doing, I noticed that he's starting to do everything that people say he can't do. So this is another thing, like you just said, like, oh, he can't win in the West, so he's going to the West. So, and also, he's a smart man, so he knows, like, Magic has the Lakers right now. He's the president. Right. He's owner of the Sparks, part owner. He owns the Dodgers. And What does LeBron want to do next? He wants to own a team. So he's trying to, like, he's really trying to become a legend in all aspects of the game of life. Like, he's really, they say he's working on Space Jam 2. He right. got his Uninterrupted. That joint is really, like, going crazy. Like, it's really up and coming lately. Yeah. Like, people don't know. Like, it's coming. Like, he's really figuring it out. But one problem we do have is LeBron the GM, man. Like, I say this. I'm a big LeBron fan. I said in the podcast before, I was kind of mad at first when he left, and I explained it. Go back and listen to that LeBron James podcast. Yeah. But I'm like, yo, like, him as the GM is my only gripe on him, because JR and Tristan should have not got those contracts. Like, If you his boy, you love him to death. You can't be mad at him. But from, like, a GM standpoint, that's not a good move, bro. That's not a good move.
Those two don't perform enough for me, in my opinion. JR and Tristan, like I was saying earlier, Tristan is an interior guy. He's there for rebounds. He's not a scorer. Tristan will give you 4-13 on a nightly basis, and he'll be fine with that. That's why I like the move of Kevin Love being there. Kevin Love is like 24-13. I can give you that. You see me in the corner, I'm here for you. But JR, he's so inconsistent too. One night he give you 35, and the next night he'll give you 4. And that's why I felt like he couldn't keep that team in his pocket and try to carry them the whole way through, just because he didn't have enough people to push the boundaries forward. Like, when your team, when your bench points is only like 22 and y'all going into the fourth quarter, that's awful. Yeah. And then you got the, like, when you, oh man, when they played against the Toronto Raptors, that was a 4-0 sweep. We all knew that. When you look at those stats compared to the Celtics stats, they bench was going crazy. But that's because the game plan for Toronto was let LeBron go off, and yeah, the rest of these dudes just, they're there.
They have to win the game for you. They forced the other guys to win the game, and they did end up winning the game. But if they wasn't making their shots, it was a wrap, though. But as we talk about LeBron being a bad GM, who's a great GM, Golden State, man. We was talking downstairs, like, yo, what Golden State does is, first of all, it starts in your draft. You got to draft well. You got to really do your homework and figure out that diamond in the rough, because usually the number one pick ain't that great. Right. And everybody go crazy for him, and he ain't that great. But the Warriors have mastered. Even with, I think, the Bell dude that ended up coming Jordan in for Golden State.
Oh, my God.
He started going crazy. They had some play where he just dumped it under his legs to Steph in the corner. So he's basically setting a screen and passing the ball. And this looks like a trick. It's so smooth where it looks like it's a trick play. But it's a set-up play for him to bounce the ball under his leg while setting the screen and give it to Curry in the corner pocket. And then what they do is, every year they can spend big money because they don't have like multiple people on contracts at the same time. So what they do is they get, and then they attract people that want to really win this chip. Like, exactly. David West came to win the chip, and he ain't left the team since because he made his money already.
Right.
That's what kind of be killing me with these players and stuff. It's like, bro, how much money do you need? Like,
exactly.
Because you should want to win. Like, these dudes be like, nah, I ain't giving me enough money. I'm like, dog, you trash, though. Like, you scoring, you going crazy. But everybody learned back in the Jordan days, let him go off, but your team got to beat us. So right. Dudes are smartening up now. And just the Warriors, man, they do a great job of being GMs and figuring it out. And they attract people. Boogie had like a $40 million offer from the Pelicans. Said no, took $5 million. Because he want to win. He want to win. We took a short commercial break. We had to pay some bills. You know, it's big money over here. Big money over here.
Big money season.
But, Kyrie, what do you think about the Golden State Warriors and how they move?
I think they're smart, like you said. It all started with the acquisition of Kevin Durant, a.k.a. the snake to some people. I wasn't really mad at him because it was a good basketball move, in my opinion, because play with a team for 10 years, only go to the finals once. Everybody else seems to be going somewhere and getting a ring. Maybe it's my turn, because Melo could have did the same thing. But he decided to stay in New York and kind of worsen his game.
Melo's about his bread. He don't care about chips.
He doesn't. Oh, my goodness.
Man. We got to pay some more bills. Hold on. Paying more bills, man. I'm sorry, man. The phone keep ringing, man. I'm telling you, like, y'all got to chill out, man. I'm recording right now, baby. Y'all got to chill, man. I'm trying to get these buckets. Trying to get this money. Hold on. But like you said about KD, it was like, I get it from a basketball move, but for me, like, I'm born in 87. I'm kind of old school, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yo, if you get in a fight, somebody jump you. Like, I'm not joining y'all gang after you jump me. Like, nah, we catching a fair one. I'm going to join another gang, or I'm just going to have to fight y'all by myself. Right. So that's where I'm like, yo. And it only makes me mad because they killed LeBron, but they gave KD, like, a pass. And I'm like, from a basketball standpoint, you're right. 110%, I agree with you. But from, like, a regular standpoint, that was corny, bro. Yeah. Like, it was mad corny. But from a basketball, don't get me wrong, all you KD lovers, it's a great move. It's the only move. Because right. It was either that or DC or this or that. Like, bro, I'm going to go to state. I'm sorry. I'm going to go to state. Like, he could go get the bread or he could go get the basketball money. And what we learn is Melo is about his bread.
Right.
And KD is about the basketball. He got like 100-something million from Nike, bro. He's not really worried about it. He's not worried about the bread. So from a basketball standpoint, It was the only move. The only thing that pissed me off and would make me mad about KD is really, it's just like the same thing with Lakers fans. I don't hate the Lakers. I hate their fans. Their fans be going, like, stupid, especially Kobe fans. Fuck y'all. I don't care about y'all Kobe fans. Because y'all go crazy for, like this Kobe fathered y'all. But, like, I'm like, yo, that's what makes me mad. It's the fans. It's not even the player. And it'll make me, it'll make people think I don't like the player. It's like, no, like, they be riding so hard. And they don't know basketball. They don't know, like, real stuff. They can't tell me who was on the Warriors. They can't tell me, okay, riddle me this. Don't Google it. You're going to Google it anyway. Tell me who won this slam dunk contest from the Golden State Warriors. Around what, 2003 or something like that.
I know what it is.
Then you a real Golden State fan. You can't tell me that off top. Don't talk to me. Period. But okay, and then this Melo finesse of the year, man. Finesse. Somebody put like, yo, is Melo Nigerian? Cause your man gets the bread, the $33 million, and they buy him out. So Melo gets to go anywhere he want, and he got his bread already. Like. Yo. Melo,
he a real nigga though.
Shout out to Baltimore, man.
He let us know what was up. I mean, you go to OKC, you do it. You have all right year, at all right at best, and then you just kind of, all right, I don't really want to be here. So what we gonna do is y'all gonna buy me out, so I still get my bread, and I'm gonna go where I want to go, because. Yeah. Who doesn't want to do that?
That was Wayno on Everyday Struggle. I read his tweet. He said that. Like, he's like, yo, Melo got to be Nigerian. But that's our little quick NBA take, man. Moving right along.
Right.
Scorpion. Everybody got mixed reviews on Scorpion. I'm going to let you go first.
All right.
But let's say your honest opinion on Scorpion. I like it. I can say that.
Okay.
So what's your idea on Scorpion?
25 songs is a lot. Definitely a lot to sit through. After the Pusha T beef, I kind of, you know, slid away from Drake for a little bit because he need time to recuperate. He definitely did not follow the expectation that I thought was going to happen because the Meek Mill energy was not here for Pusha T at all. But it's all right. You know, sometimes you got to get bodied. To really understand where you come from, sometimes you got to eat that humble pie. But when it comes down to Scorpion, I was kind of expecting a response on there or something like that, but I didn't get it, so I wasn't, you know, too enthused by it. But the album is pretty good. I think he got some notable songs on there. That one song, In My Feelings, is just. Hey, that Kiki, Do You Love Me?
Song of the Summer. I'm claiming it right now.
Nigga want to jump, you feel me? But I think he did a good job with it. I think 25 songs is a lot. But when you kind of put the album together and you just like kind of like listen to it and cruise through it, it's not that bad. It's pretty good. But some of the bars was definitely, you know. I wasn't hiding my kid from the world. I was hiding the world from my kid. You knew what you did.
Oh,
you know, man. What you did. Push exposed you. You know what you did. But that's all right, though. You don't get a pass. You don't get a pass for that.
Yeah. We just going to keep it all the way up. Buck, like, yo, always give credit where credit due. The Joe Budden podcast, he really broke it down and really talked about everything. And what it really was, and that's what I felt like a little bit, but I wasn't for sure. I'm not a music aficionado or expert like Joe Budden is.
Right.
But he was saying that he had to scrap like most of the first side of his whole album because he probably was talking big rap talk, big money talk. He probably was talking crazy, but after losing the battle, period. He's not going to lose that life, but he lost that battle. So after losing the battle, he had to hold the L on that, and he had to change his album, and it really messed up because the second side is legendary. I mean, I like R&B like a whole lot. Like, I love rap, but I like, if I gotta choose, you probably gonna have to give me R&B to live off for the rest of my life. So it's like, yo, he probably had to change the whole first side like a lot, like a whole lot, because niggas ain't respecting if you talking crazy about getting money, people biting you, this and that, ghostwriting, like, nah. Bro, you gotta go in and change it. And Pusha T did that 3 weeks to a month before this shit was coming out.
So you already know. So he in the studio what am I gonna do?
He had to be living in the studio. Cause some of the bars is like he said, it's like okay. Like it ain't bad. Never really bad, but it's just okay. And Drake seems calculated. Like Joe Budden, we give credit where credit is due. No copyright infringement. Facts. No plagiarism here.
Facts only.
So check that out, Joe Budden podcast, if you haven't heard of it. It's hilarious. Shout out to Maul, Rory. I met Rory at the Roots Picnic. Cool dude, man. So I like it. But, I mean, I like more the B side than the A side. The A side is not bad. It just made me feel good to have, like, an actual album out. Because it's been a lot of, like, really short albums or it been, like, no real words. Just beats and rap and, like...
My tummy
hurts. Yeah.
My tummy hurts.
It's literally, you can make a song out of anything and it could be a hit if you got a hard beat on it. So it made me feel good to finally hear an album. It was an hour and, like, 20 or hour and 30 minutes long. It was, like, a real album. I'm here in Virginia. It's something to ride to.
Most definitely.
You know, it's something good, but... Like I said, man, in my feelings, got everybody going crazy. Shout out to the City Girls. Shout out to JT. She a finesse from the City Girls. She got a deal, then got locked up. So shout out to her, man. Get home soon. Y'all go check out that page and write her if y'all into the City Girls. Man, QC, the label out of Atlanta, where we based at. They just running shit. They running shit, man, that way, man. So, hey, man, the Drake album, it is what it is. I like it. Yeah. And Meek just dropped his joint. Yesterday.
Yesterday, man.
So it's just like if rap is not like back in the day, it's not like nobody's gonna die like that. Right. Hopefully not. We don't want to see the only one
that we seen almost die was Dolph. Dolph got 100 shots. That's a lot to die.
Yeah. But rap is like, bro, you lose. Like music is disposable now. Music lasts for like 2 weeks. Like, if Jay-Z and Beyonce could drop and people ain't really talking about it now, music is disposable now. Yeah. Like, because they was waiting on this album forever, and then it kind of just went away. I didn't get a chance to listen to all the Beast Mode, too, but I know that's going to be crazy.
The trap is going crazy in Atlanta.
I know that's going to be crazy.
As soon as you come back, that's how you're going to hand the city.
Yeah. So, what do y'all listen to in Baltimore? What is mainly taking over in Baltimore?
So, Baltimore, it's the crabs in the bucket mindset. So, it's a whole bunch of rappers. There's a lot of local artists that everybody supports. But, I mean, we kind of listen to the mainstream music, too. A lot of Lil Baby. Lil Baby, he going crazy everywhere up there. I mean...
Lil Baby is, like... The reason why I think Lil Baby works is because people can feel that he's not bullshitting.
Yeah.
He's not like, yo, I'm fucking kid. Because he really don't even talk about killing niggas or nothing like that. He just raps about... Whatever he's talking about.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, he talk about getting money. He talk about female. He talk about buying shit. Like, that's why people fuck with Lil Baby. Like, his song was My Dog. It wasn't like, I'm a fucking killer nigga bitch. And all that. Like, it was like, yo, it's my dog. And that's what made him big. Like, it's real with him. And what you'll notice, if you've been around real people, the real gangsters and shit, they laugh all the time. Yeah. They joke all the time. They really silly dudes. The wannabes... Nigga, I'm tough, nigga. I got 50 tattoos on my face.
I got the blammer in the car right now. If y'all niggas want to get it popping, we can get it popping. Like.
Yeah, like, bro. Like, that's what I said about Migos. Migos don't even talk big shit. But tell me when the Migos ever took a L. If y'all been following the Migos since the start, them niggas was shooting at niggas. Them niggas was getting locked up.
Yeah.
Offset was in jail. They was fighting everywhere.
Everywhere
like,
they went.
They never caught no L's. Really. I think one time, like in D.C. or something,
yeah,
they
got ran off or somebody got their chain snatched.
Somebody got the drop on them, but like...
But it was like they was in the crowd talking or doing whatever they was performing, and somebody just yanked their shit. And this was before they got like... Big.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they didn't get big until Bad and Bougie. They was always around.
Yeah.
But when they blew the fuck up, it was like when the world know who they really were.
Bad and Bougie. But
Bad and Bougie just
that,
like.
That was their summer.
And
like,
it just.
A whole joint.
And what I heard was that, like, what happened with them was that they was on the label 300, and 300 wasn't letting them do something. And once they finally got off, because they wasn't allowed to put out no music, because they had Dab out, and Dab was like the biggest song at the time, but they couldn't promote it the way they wanted to. because they had some issues going on. But when they got off and that QC the label shit really started going, and QC been winning, man. Lil Baby, City Girls, Lil Yachty, Migos, they manage Cardi B now.
Yo.
I mean, they all the Migos gonna have their own little label situations, and I mean,
they gonna be getting bread though.
So what else they listen to in Baltimore?
So, you know, like I said, the mainstream music, there's this guy, Bam Hunter Izzy. He on, like, I think he's the biggest come up out of our city since Lord Scooter, who passed away, what, 2 summers ago? But him, it's a rapper, Young Moose. It's a lot of people up there that's kind of local that's coming up. A lot of these dudes, you can walk up to them in the city and say personally, like, just be on some chill shit, like, what's up? But we listen to anything. Me personally, I listen to everything. So I'm listening to niggas in New York, Atlanta, Cali. I'm like the bass god of music in my city. I put a lot of people on to that Lil Yachty when he first dropped the One Night. Oh, I was like, okay, I rocks with this, and then I played it, and out of nowhere the song got big. You know, I'm a music aficionado.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? But
y'all listen to Gunna?
Yo, I listen to Gunna. I don't know about the rest of them, but he got some fire.
He's coming, because it's like he getting a little buzz, but I feel it soon. By Christmas time, I think the world gonna know about Gunna for real. If you don't know now, some people know about him, but I think the world really, really gonna know about Gunna, man. Like
it's a lot of people they got some raw talent that's going to just skyrocket.
And the key is for anybody listening that's in music, I am not in the music game, but I watch and learn from everything. Mm-hmm. If you're a rapper, get with a producer. Or if you with a rapper and you make a good song with another rapper, maybe y'all should do a little group thing as figure it out or whatever. But the thing is, when you find the right person to make your beats and y'all work well together and you see a buzz, maybe y'all don't get a lot of streams or nothing at first. But if y'all got really, really good chemistry, keep working at that.
Yes, sir.
YG DJ Mustard.
Future Metro Boomin.
I mean, who else? Nick, Future and what's the name? Southside. The whole Southside. Atlanta really just help out each other, really.
And that's the thing.
The 808 Mafia works with all, like, Lil Baby and Gunna, every song they on together go crazy. Like, to all people making music, man, it needs to be a great partnership between producer, rapper, producer, rapper. If y'all do that, because, like, it'll be somebody with bars, no beats.
Right.
And the beats draw people in. It might be somebody with beats and, like, nobody with a catchy sound.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to keep it a buck with you right now, the beats is more important. So, if you're an artist, man, just work with one dude. Like, yo, we could grow together. For real, for real. So
definitely.
That's it, man. Just figure it out, man. So, we going to get ready to wrap this up. We going to make a short one because we got to make our grand appearance at the family reunion.
You know, let me tell y'all something. These little bitty hoes in Emporia think that we playing or something. We going to pull up to this thing. Hard body, you feel me?
Hard.
Prince style blouses, you know? They think we plan. They don't know. Atlanta and Baltimore, when they come together, they mix. Shoot, when we link up,
game. But last, before we got out here, we got to talk about something serious. The XXX passing.
Yes, sir.
It's just like, it really is an eye-opener for all you young niggas listening. It may not, too many young niggas don't listen to podcasts anyway, so it might not be you. But it just goes to show, like, yo, man, like, this shit really happens. We live in a social media age where niggas see shit like, bro, I would have did this if I was there. If I was there, I would have did that, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm like, niggas is really, like, X is unfortunately what the world had to see to show you that shit gets real. And, like, a lot of people talk about it, Charlamagne, Joe Budden, all of them. A lot of people like, yo, this internet shit is really desensitizing people to violence.
It really
and
is.
If you're a real one, you grew up around violence, like, you know, like, yo, I've been around some wild people. My step pops was locked up for murder. My dad was fucking around the drug game. Like, I've been around a lot of shit, and I always knew my whole life that shit's not for me. Because I seen the real consequences. I see my mother struggle trying to raise five kids with just her, working 2-3 jobs, always tired. I seen, you know, my dad friends and my dad, like, going to see people in New York that had a fake funeral because shit was real. Back in the day, like, when people was looking for you, they was looking for you. My dad used to tell me they used to stab the body to make sure you was dead, like, on some wild, like, out there, Brooklyn shit. Like, whoa. Like, we'll go to your funeral and, like, really
poke you up in the casket.
Like, real disrespect, real crazy, but this is what this generation needed to see. To, like, bro, this shit is real. Like, all that, like, man, when I see this nigga, like, bro, you can really die. Like, this was the first time that the younger generation got to see somebody die. And people were saying, like, he's the Tupac of this generation. And that could be true in the sense that he made a lot of influential music, and he made a lot of music, and he inspired people, but he was very problematic. So I get you in that standpoint. But Tupac is a big legend, and he had a longer career than X. But I understand where y'all coming from as far as the comparison. Yeah. But it's just really unfortunate. And for you young kids, man, just have fun. Enjoy your life, man. Like, be a man. If somebody disrespect you, he touch you, you got to handle your business with all that. Like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You don't know what other niggas going to do to you for real. So be careful when you take that phone out. Be careful. Whatever you say on that shit, whatever you do. And even with robberies and shit too, man, like, that flashy shit is cool for rappers. But that flash, they said, the story goes is, like, he's in the motorsports shop. He got a big-ass duffel bag full of money. And hood niggas is watching him. So they like, yo, we gonna get this nigga. Like, we gonna follow him.
Like Lil Boosie said, you gotta get out your own city if you really think you making it.
Yep.
That's where he died at. Right. That's where a lot of rappers die, in their own city. And people don't think that hating shit is real. Niggas really do despise you for the things that you got just because they ain't got it like you got it. So, all I got out of that was, you know, I'm 18. He was 19, 20. Like, that could have been me easily, you know. Especially where I grew up at. Nigga, I grew up in the county of Baltimore, and I'm doing air quotes, but that is the closest area to the city that you're going to get, Essex. Essex is, you know, they got drugs and all that. And at first, it wasn't like that. But as times change, your environment change. And a lot of people fail to realize that the kids now are so influenced by the shit that they see that these rappers doing. So you doing Zans, Perks, and Mollies, and then you talking about you selling it off and running off on plugs. A lot of little niggas would try to do that and die because of that.
Yeah, the plug make an example out of your ass. Like, exactly. For real, that shit, it's not a game, though. Like, if you really living this life, you really got to be about it. And it's just like the being flashy shit. Like, I was born in Brooklyn, in Brookdale Hospital, in Brownsville, New York. My mom, we was there till I was about 5 because I lived in Harlem where Cameron and them are from, like, around the corner. And it was, like, real drug dealing. So my mom, when I was, like, 5 or 6, was like, we getting the fuck out of here. We moving to Virginia. Because living across the street from a homeless shelter in the height of a crack era and gang wars, my mom was like, yo, it was, like, gangs and all kind of shit. But I'm like, I'm 5. I'm riding my Batman cartwheel. Like, yo, shit is great out here. What the fuck you talking about, mom? Like, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like,
really?
I don't know what's going on. So we moved like 93, 94, but the crack era was all of the 80s and the early 90s, like crazy. So I'm like, yo, I'm proud that, like, yo, she let us out. Like, these niggas, you could tell a real dude from a fake dude simply off of this. Real niggas don't want to be in the hood.
At all.
Phony niggas want to be from the hood and think the hood is so fucking cool so bad. Like, and that's it. Like, yo, from your city. Say me and Kyrie, we went to school together, right? So if I was roasting this nigga so bad, and I used to always roast him and shit back in the day, and I'm rich now, and I come on the block, and Kyrie really in the streets, I'm like, oh, look at this motherfucker. I used to roast this nigga all the time. This nigga may still be holding on to that emotion. Like, oh, yeah, nigga, roast this and shoot me. And I'm in the hood showing off, shirt off, money showing, going crazy. And that nigga could still be mad about jokes from high school. He could really still be mad about that and take me out. That's
we 12 years past.
I mean, out of there. But it's just like, yo, it's like, yo, always come back and inspire the hood. But you can't, like, all that, like, nigga, I'm in the hood. Like, it's so many dudes that, like, I'm in the hood that died. Meek Mill said it. Boosie said it. These is official niggas that's saying, like, yo, get out the hood. Lil Baby was like, I don't even be in the hood. 21 Savage was like, I don't really be in the hood like that. They come, they show love, they motivate, they might get the kids something, but then they get the fuck out of there. Because niggas that you may have did something to years ago on some joke shit, on some, oh, you fuck my bitch with it, like, nigga, they will kill you.
On some shit that you did before you got high.
Way
like,
long, or even on some Jack Boy shit. Like, bro, these niggas
you
is
think
broke.
You big or something? All right, come on now.
Bro, these like, dudes is broke, bro. Like, they seen X with a bunch of money, bro. Like, they like, this shit is real out here. So, y'all little niggas that be thinking shit is cool, like, niggas trying to OD. And another thing, too, is, like, I wanted to touch on briefly. Why niggas be acting like they so depressed? Like, I feel like some niggas is really going through it. But I think it's trendy right now to be fucking depressed.
It is trendy. Like, it's so basically, like, the whole being sad and depressed thing is just, it's trendy right now. It really is. And that shit ain't cool. Because there's really some people that be out here
really,
dealing with stuff.
Really fucked up.
And the thing about it, like I'm not, like, a sad boy. But, like, sometimes, like, shit get to me.
Exactly.
And like, it's supposed to.
You're human.
Because you're a human being. But people that sad all the time and like, oh, they're on some suicidal shit, but they want to kill myself and all that. Like, they're doing too much. They doing it for clout. That's
yeah,
what it
I
is.
Mean, it's even like people live streaming them getting ready to kill. Like, bro, it's this shit, the phone and the social media shit, like, it's cool. But if you step away from it for a little while, you'll see.
New
you. I mean, like, you'll really be around your family, be around your friends, chill. But like, that internet shit, it'll get you sucked in after a while. It'll really take you out. But it's like, yo, man, like, enjoy life. Talk to somebody if you really need help.
Yeah.
Go to a hospital. Talk to a counselor. Talk to somebody you trust. But, like, all that, like, I'm fake. Like, if your fucking parents, like, they never let you go to a fucking concert, or you never have no money, or you ever have this, you never, like...
That's why you're depressed.
That's
you
why
need
you
to look
like,
at,
like, come
you
on,
need to look
bro.
At life in another perspective.
Come on, bro.
Because trust me. It's people out here that really be going through some shit.
It's the summertime, right? Real niggas know. In the summertime, when some people grow up in real poverty-stricken areas, they're not going to fucking eat.
Facts.
At all. They go to school, and they rack up on food because at home, there is no fucking food. That's real depression. That's real, like, sadness. That's like, damn. Like, not only that, they could be getting their ass beat. They could be getting abused. They could be getting molested when they get home. That's real fucking sad shit. It's like, man, my fucking girl broke up with me, dude. Like, this is my fucking world, man. Like, I'm just gonna do these fucking perks till I die. Like, I'm fucking sad, man. Like, you know, like, that's not
really
real,
doing?
Bro.
Like, what are you doing?
In the summertime, like, if real niggas know, like, the Catholic Church or different churches or communities, they give out lunch programs. They do this because some niggas is not going to eat. Food, period, this summer. Their parents is crackheads. They living with their grandparents that don't have that much money. Shit like that. That's real sadness. That's real depression. That shit you talking about, like, man, I never could fucking go anywhere. I never have J's. I never have fucking anything, man. I fucking hate this world. Like, that's not, bro.
That's not what you, yo, if it's materialistic items that you think you need.
Not necessities,
but things that you want. Then you kind of, you're looking at life in the wrong perspective. Because the way I take it is, I'd rather have this conversation that we having right now with him than to go out here and go on social media and let the whole world know my business. Because that's it. When I'm with my family and things like that, everything just goes away.
Yep.
I'm not on my phone. I'm not doing nothing. When you just have people that genuinely care about you and talk to you, then people don't have to always feel this way. If that's really what the issue is. But like I said before, there are a lot of people out here clout chasing, and some girls actually think that shit is cute. And I'm like,
like, he's so weird. He's so sad. Like, I gotta help him. Like, it's crazy, man. But what we saying is, if you really need help, get the help. But that fake shit, that fake I'm sad shit, we gotta end that shit. But
let it go.
That's it, man. Hey, man, y'all enjoy y'all summer. Y'all go to y'all family reunions. We were in some shirts. We're gonna be look like a box of crayons, as my wife said. We're gonna look real crazy out here. But we're going to enjoy ourselves because we in the country of Emporia.
Yes, sir.
There ain't nothing else to do but have a good time, man. Kyrie, give everybody your handles if they trying to debate with you, trying to see what you up to, man. Let them know.
Hey, man. Just check me out, man. I don't do nothing. I'm 18. I'm going to college soon. You know, making big money moves. Congrats. Big money plays. You know, still don't mess with the United States government, even though they provided me financial aid, because, you know, conspiracies. Bush did 9/11, just so y'all know. Yeah, I don't really have any handles, you know. I just be chilling. I live life. Like I said before, I'm not too big on social media. I post a picture per month, and I go. But that's it. I mean, it was cool being on here. I've been itching like a fiend to get on the show, you know. You be giving me shout outs. I be showing the family the podcast. I listen to all of them faithfully, even the deep ones, because, you know, sometimes a young nigga needs some guidance. But sometimes I already told him, you know, I'm a wise young man. You know, I get it. I get everything, and I move on with it. I take stuff that I need, and I just push forward. I'm glad to be here, you know. Glad to see my family from GA, because it ain't always possible. ATLANTA, you know, we here. But it was a cool podcast. I thank y'all. Thank y'all should, you know, support, you know, like, share, repost, you know, leave some comments. You feel me? I tried to get the $25 gift card, but I forgot to leave a comment. So that's all right. We still moving along, though. We'll be good. But yeah, just I think this could be big one day. We're going to definitely be on the grind, you know. I'm still going to support and just try to keep pushing, baby.
Oh, yeah, and that's it, man. Like, find something you love and keep doing it, because, like, organically, shit will blow up. Like, yes, Lil Baby makes my dog, and he's like, I don't really think nothing of it. I don't really give a fuck about rap. And then it blows up. So when you're doing shit from the right perspective, yeah, it will blow up organically. Like, because if you love it, like, you keep doing it, no matter if nobody fucking listen to it. I had a good time if nobody listened to it. But it's just like, yo, word of mouth, I feel like, is the best way. So if y'all can spread the word about This Is Recorded, if you like this one, go check out Perception Versus Reality. Yep. Go check out a couple of The Roots Picnic if you're trying to laugh.
That was a gut buster there.
Yeah. Rod G Star if you're trying to get some black empowerment, man. If you, I got a couple of joints, man. Just read the descriptions and see what you like, man. Because, shout out to It's The Real. They gave me the idea to shout out some other podcasts that y'all would like to hear. They do a really good job, man. And just enjoy y'all family get-togethers, man. And this is recorded, man. Peace.